Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you all are here. I'm excited about what I get to share with you this morning. Would you all please pray with me? Lord, it all belongs to you. There'll be a day when we will crown you with many crowns, as we've just sung. We understand that the worlds were made by you and through you and for you. And so, Lord, that makes us yours. Those of us who have trusted in you know that you are God. And we've not only been made by you, but for you, for your pleasure. And so, Lord, it is our desire this morning to worship you in song, in giving, and in your word, and then worship you throughout the week as we live for you, honoring you, and giving glory to you as we walk through life. Now, Lord, I ask that you would teach through your servant. I know that you love those who sit before me. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to teach with accuracy your precious word. Feed us, Lord, for we are listening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There were two hunters as they were walking through the woods. One of the hunters came to a little clearing, and in that clearing, he saw this huge hole. And as he stopped and he looked down the hole, he realized he could not see the bottom of it. That's just when his other friend came up behind him and said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's a hole." And he looked down there and he said, "Man, you can't even see the bottom of that. That's huge. How deep do you think it is?" "I don't know." He said, "I know. Let's throw something down there. And let's see how long it takes to hit bottom. Then we'll know how deep it is." And sounded good to him, so they looked around and they saw over by the bushes an old car transmission. So they picked up this old car transmission and they kind of lugged it over and heaved it in the hole. And as they were sitting there looking at it, waiting for it to hit bottom, a goat came sprinting through the bushes, sprinted right past them and sprinted right directly into the hole. And as they were looking at that, they were thinking, "Now that's the strangest thing I've ever seen." Well, just a few minutes later, a farmer came up and he said, "You guys haven't happened to see my goat, have you?" And the one said to the other, said, "Man, it's strange you should ask that. Just a minute ago, a goat came sprinting through those bushes at 100 miles an hour and ran right into that hole." And the farmer looked at him and he said, "Nah, can't be my goat. I had my goat tied to an old car transmission." Do you ever feel like that goat? You get drug right into a hole. Life is going along fine, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a pit. You think things are doing right, going just fine, and then there's a medical emergency. Or you get a phone call, a friend has passed away. Or there's some kind of problem in the family. You fill in the gap. You know, we've all been in that pit. It's a pit of apathy, maybe. Maybe it's a pit of discouragement, maybe disappointment, maybe a pit of fear. Paul is writing from a pit. The Apostle Paul is writing to us, even today, from a pit of a prison. And he sits in this prison, languishing, chained 24/7 to a guard. Privacy is not something Paul knows. And yet, he's joyful. He's in jail by a corrupt government on false charges. And yet, he can say, "I'm content. Rejoice. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." At first blush, we might think, "Yeah, sure. That's just church talk. Deep down, something's wrong." But I remind you, he speaks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so his words are true. And they hold something for you and for me. Wouldn't it be nice if we could live life above our circumstances? Not ignore them, but live our life above them and not go through these deep valleys and the high highs and the low lows. That's what we're going to talk about today. How can you live life? How can you get strength? Where can we discover strength in the midst of the worst times? If you would, open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to talk about three things this morning. The first one is what God wants you to know. The second is what God wants you to see. And the third is what God wants you to do. And so it's no see do. The first thing, what does God want you to know? Look at verse 13. Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is a verse that many of you have memorized. You know it. You see it written all over the place. By some, it's greatly misunderstood. There are some that look at it and say, yeah, I could even jump over tall buildings with my God. He would make me a super Christian. Well, I remind you that God can cause you to do anything. He can strengthen you to do anything. But I want to remind you that in the context, Paul is talking about, I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is to have a little. I know what it is to be well fed. I know what it is to go hungry. You see, it's even in these times in the prison that he is saying, I can do all things. Yes, even this. And so in the humbling times is where God steps in. It's where we say, I can't, that he says, I can. A mistake that we make with this is we tend to look at Paul as a super Christian. Well, he was born that way. It's not, he can do anything. It's not easy for me. It doesn't come natural. I assure you, it did not come natural to Paul. He told us in previous verses, I learned this. I've learned this through experience, through the school of hard knocks. Then we tend to think, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I've made too many mistakes. There's no way I could follow through. And I remind you, it's God who is behind Paul. It's God who will help you. Now, the first thing in the Greek sentence is all things. Now, why do I bring that up? The Greek is a very fluid language. In Greek, they can put the words in any order they want. With us, it's always subject, verb, and object. If I said to the store when I, you'd say, that's bad grammar. But I could say something like that in Greek and it would be fine. So the reason I say all things is Paul has moved that to the front of the sentence. Because he wants you to know it's all things, everything. Nothing's left out. And so he's emphasizing it, putting a line under it, making it bold print. It's his way of doing it. So this applies to all things. He says, all things I can be doing. I can do. The way he writes it is that this is a continual blessing to him. All things I can be doing. Does that mean he's super apostle? No, it doesn't. Because he's not bragging about himself. He's bragging about his Lord and Savior. I can do all things through the agency of my Savior. I can be doing all things through him. Your version may say Christ. We know that that's who he's referring to. But the original most likely does not have Christ there. It has him, to him. Through Christ, in cooperation with him, who constantly is strengthening me. Paul lived in such close relationship with Christ that he would get him through anything. And so it's this living in cooperation. And so I want you to remember as you think of these words, think of the context. It is a humbling context, even through the difficult things. In the hospital, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On our deathbed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bad news comes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do tend to turn to God in the tough times. It's the good times that tempt us away from Him. And so even in those times, if we look to Him, He can keep us in line and not running off in the wrong direction, forgetting Him. Now, another thing God wants you to know is that life is full of choices. You know this. The choices that He lists out in this context, in the verses before this, in verses 2 through 10, Paul tells us that we can demand our rights. You see, we have a choice. We can follow God or we can follow ourselves. And if you are not intentional, you will follow yourself. That's our bent. We're human. We'll do what we want to do. And we live in a world of people doing what they want to do. Again, I remind you, just go out and drive on the road and you will see that. What does stop mean? If I wanted to know what a stop sign meant by visiting this country, I would say it means hesitate and punch it. It can't mean stop because people don't. The rules don't apply to me. What does a yellow light mean? Punch it. It's going to turn red soon. See, we don't live by the rules on the road. We certainly don't live by the rules in our homes and in our lives. Living in this world has taught me that I'm first after somebody else, because somebody else is going to be first, because that's the world we live in, a self-centered world. It's just what it is. So if you're not intentional about making choices, then you're going to be more like the world. And so Paul says, let's live in harmony. He starts out in verse 2 and he calls Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony. Just agree with one another is what he's calling them to do. We talked about this a while ago and we said that Euodia and Syntyche were arguing. It was possibly splitting the church. There was a big feud over something in that church. We don't know what it was. We know that it was not doctrinal. If it was something doctrinal, Paul would have stopped right there and would have told them it's this way, not that. And so we assume that what they were arguing over was a personal preference in ministry. And they allowed their personal preferences to get in the way and they fought over it. I can assure you, I've seen this in churches all over, where people get really upset over something not happening their way, and so they fight with other Christians in the church, assuming God is on their side. I assure you, He's not. As soon as you start ridiculing and fighting and demeaning your brother or sister in Christ, you left God's side, and you joined your own and the world's. And so Paul says, don't do that. Live in harmony. How can I help do that? Rejoice in the Lord. And so we can make a choice. We can live in the world or we can rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in Christ. Take your view, put it on Him, not on your problem. The very one who forgives us. The very one who offers to those who have trusted Him a forgiven past, a secure present, and a very bright future in heaven. All because of His work. Rejoice in Him. And so we have a choice. We can rejoice in Christ, not in our problems. And then Paul says, you have a choice. You can worry yourself into anxiety, or you can give it to God. Don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray, is what he tells us to do. And then he tells us to focus our minds. If you let your mind drift, living in the culture we're in, you'll see all the negative. You know, here we are coming up on election again. Are you enjoying those commercials? Oh, I love it when they sling dirt. I just stay away from it. None of us likes it. It makes our heart beat faster. We don't like being around all that negativity. Paul says, whatever's true, let's focus on the truth. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, focus on those things. And so you must drive your mind or the world will drive it for you. You must be intentional. And so I think the key words here, you must be intentional about taking your concerns to God, about watching your mind, about choosing peace. You can demand your rights, but with it comes strife. And I'm talking in a church context with that. So life is full of choices. God wants you to know that. Will you choose you or will you choose Him? This is for Christians. You can trust Christ and then live as the devil. And you know people who do that. But you also get to bear the burden of that. And God doesn't want that for you. And so to sum up the context here, God says it this way. When we follow God's instruction, we get not only His peace. We not only get the peace of God, but we get the God of peace with us. That's what Paul says. Isn't that what you want? That's what Paul says he has. He not only has the peace of God, but he has the God of peace. And so he can languish in a jail cell, knowing that the God of peace is with him, and trust God for that. How do I get this peace? That's the next question, isn't it? How do I get this peace? Well, it starts with trusting in Christ. That's where it all starts. Many of you have come to a point in your life where you understand, you know, I've really messed up. I've done a lot of wrong things, some of them purposeful, some of them not. And I'm not so sure I'm going to heaven. Well, God has good news for you. You're not. Not based on your works. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means we're all heading to hell. But here's the good news. That's why Jesus came. He came and he laid his life down freely on the cross to pay for all the things you've done wrong. And he laid his life down and he was buried and he was raised back up in 3 days. He proved that he had conquered death, sin, and Satan. And he offers to you eternal life with him in heaven if you will only trust him as your Savior and allow him to be Lord in your life. Trust him. Trust alone in Christ alone. And he'll give you heaven. It's based on his performance, not yours. Have you done that? If you have, then you know the Prince of Peace and you are on the road to having peace daily. I know it was my experience, and it's been the experience of many of you, that when you first trusted in Christ, something happened. I hear it fairly commonly. It's not everybody. Everybody has different experiences. And a lot of people say, you know, there was a weight lifted off my shoulders. I got peace because I know that I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me and I'm trusting alone in Him. That's where it starts. Once you trust in Christ, the Spirit comes into you and starts knocking on doors in your life saying, open that door. I want in. And one of them he knocks on is our brain right away. And he says, you know what? Paul says this in Romans 12:3. He said, think of yourselves with sober judgment. Evaluate yourself with sober judgment. A sober judgment would be see yourself and see things in their true light. Well, once you start to do that, you recognize that what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 18 is very true of you too. There ain't nothing good in my flesh. There ain't nothing good there. I may think it's good, but there's always some kind of false motive that goes along with it. And then we learn something. Jesus said it to the disciples in John 15, 5. He said, on the vine, you're the branches. And as you're the branches, you depend on a vine. And as branches need the vine for life, you need me for life. So what does that mean? He summed it up for them. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. It's all by grace. And so, if we want peace, we have to understand, evaluate ourselves, realize who we really are. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. What does he want us to do? Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 what he did. He understood the biblical truth. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought at a price. And now it's Christ living his life through me as me. Paul understands that. Do you? We think that the Christian life is do, do, do. Keep doing, keep doing. It's actually done. The victory's been won. But what God wants from you is obedience, surrender. Let Him live His life through you. And so Paul's application is, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. The result? Paul can say with all confidence, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And that's his words in 2 Corinthians 12:10. And so it's your choice. What God wants you to know is life is full of choices. He gives you power for living. He gives you the Holy Spirit to live through you. He can strengthen you. He can turn your I can't into I can. But it's your choice. You can live out of your pockets, or you can live out of His pockets. What will you choose? Now you might be asking, you know, that's a nice sermon, but you know what? Does that really work, Pastor? Does that really work? Well, that brings us to point number two. We talked about what God wants you to know. Now, what does God want you to see? Does this really work when we yield to God and He comes through? Don't we have to fight for everything in our lives? Example number one is Abraham. Abraham was a man who had a long-awaited dream that was not fulfilled. You know what that dream was, right? A son. From my flesh and blood, I want a son. And when it didn't come, he and Sarah got together with Hagar and did what was culturally appropriate then, but it wasn't God's plan. And Abraham and Hagar developed a child. His name was Ishmael. And God said, that's not my plan. You see, Abraham said, I can do this. Well, then there was battles and there was fights between Hagar and Sarah, and it was creating troubles. And then more years went by. And finally, after about 25 years, and Abraham's now 100 years old and Sarah's 90, what did God say? Going to have a son, Abraham. Really? Yeah, from Sarah. And Abraham, as pious as he was, his response was, oh, that's a good one, God. Sarah's response, same thing. Oh, that's hilarious. But we know it wasn't, right? You see, Abraham came to the point. He said, I can, and he tried his way, and he realized he can't. And God took his I can't and made it an I can. You see, when you wait on God and you wait on His timing and you keep yourself before God, living faithfully, He'll take your I can't into I can. Moses. Moses was a man who had an inspiration. I'm going to free my people. And so he went after an Egyptian who was beating on an Israelite. He ended up killing that Egyptian. And what happened? There was witnesses. He didn't know it. But he found out soon after. So what did Moses do? He fled because Pharaoh was going to kill him. 40 years. 40 years in time out. Moses was sure, God's done with you. He thought, I can do this. And he found out, I can't. 40 years go by and God said, okay, I want you to go back and I want you to talk to Pharaoh. I can't do that. He'll kill me. And I want you to lead my people out of Egypt into the promised land. I can't do that, God. I can't do that. And in so many words, God told Moses, Moses, you're not listening. I didn't say you were going to do it. I said I was going to do it. And I'm going to do it through you. And we know how the story ends. God took Moses' I can't and made it an I can so that Moses could say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. But it was in God's timing and in God's way, and it required Moses' patience. Joshua knew this. Once Moses was taken home by the Lord, God came to Joshua. Joshua obviously was shaking in his boots. How do I know that? Because three times four verses, God says, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. Why would He say be courageous? Because he was scared. What do you want me to do? You're going to take my people into the promised land. Great. And then I want you to go against Jericho. You know, that fortified city with the big, tall, thick walls. It's impenetrable. Nobody can get through there. That's the first city you're going after, Joshua. I can't do that. I can do it. Oh, okay. What's the game plan? Just walk around it for 7 days. Really? Well, we know the end of that story too. So Joshua, like Abraham, like Moses, said, I can't. But he ended up saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Had to do it God's way and God's timing. Saul, the first king of Israel, stood out on the battlefront for 40 days, shaking in his armor, just like the rest of his army. I remind you that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a tall dude. I also remind you that the average height of a man in that era was about 5 foot tall. And there's all of Israel, and they're all arrayed in the valley. And here comes Goliath, 40 days in a row, in the morning and at night, offering anybody out who will fight with him. Anybody. And Saul shakes in his armor like everybody else. You see, there was a problem with Saul. Saul had been telling God for some time, I can't. And God said, you can. You can. And finally, Saul's I can't became I won't. And you know what God said? You're right. And how did it end for Saul? God took him out, not only from being king, but removed his life in battle. See, his can't became I won't. And God can't work through a person that says I won't. That's your choice. Are you and I can't, or you and I won't? God honors faith. You must trust him. On the scene came a teenage boy, and he heard this Goliath. And he's the only one out of Israel that looked right past that 9'6" or 9'9" giant. That man that was probably somewhere between 400 and 500 pounds. I remind you, if David's 5 foot tall like everybody else, what's that make him? Maybe eye level with a belt buckle? But David looked right past that giant, and he saw God. And he said, I can. And God said, you're right. You see, David knew it because he walked with God. And we know how that story ended too. He knew, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And he did. And now I ask you, are you a Saul or are you a David? You have a choice. God loves faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Are you willing to trust him for what he says in his word? Maybe a better question. Do you know the promises he has for you in his word? Do you read it? God loves it when you pray his word back to him. You said, God. You see, each one of these that I've told you about, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Saul, David, they all knew. And Paul knew even from their experiences and his own experience that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How did they all learn it? Experience. It wasn't just put in their heads. They didn't learn it in church. They learned it through life's experiences, through trusting and walking with God daily. Each one had to crawl out of their own pit of failures in their past, whether it was pride or anger, and turn to God and believe. What pit has swallowed you? What pit are you in today? You know, it's been wisely said that we spend a lot of time praying to God about our problems. Maybe we need to tell our problems about our God. Have you done that? Third and last, what does God want you to do? You can turn I can't into I can. And here's the way I want you to think of it. When you're saying I can't, and you can write this down. You can write it down in your Bible. It's not original with me. You've probably even heard it before. I want you to write, I can And then instead of writing a T, I want you to write a cross. I can through the cross. I can through the cross. Resurrection power is living within you if you've trusted in Christ. And so he can take I can't into I can through the cross because resurrection power lives in me. I can through the cross. What is God asking you to do? But to do this, you need to know God. You need to trust him. And you need to walk with him daily. Many, many people today will trust Christ, will go to church. But God really doesn't have a lot more to do with their lives Monday through Saturday. I'm not here to make you feel guilty about that, but I am here to tell you that you're losing out. You see, if you are just a visitor with him, well, you're basically going to reap what you sow. Indifferent with him, he'll be indifferent with you. Close to him, he'll be close to you. Get involved. Wednesday nights would be a good night. You think that we're all just having this prayer meeting. We're storming the gates of hell. When we pray, there's a very small group of us, but we're praying for our country. We're praying for our church. We're praying for the people in our church. We're praying for the people around us who are sick. Because spiritual battles are won through prayer. Get involved. Are you involved in a study? Well, I read my Bible every day. Great start. But do more than that. We need to be around other Christians. We need to talk to one another. We need to be able to share with one another safely. Get involved in a small group. There's coming a time next year when we're going to introduce small groups because we want you to have that environment where you can talk with others, help others. Our board meets every Monday and we have a small group. We pray for y'all and then we get together and we study. What a rich time that is. It's a safe environment. Have you said I can't? Then you're in a good place. You now have an opportunity before you. Because you can through the cross. Let me give you just a small example. On Wednesday night, we were here at prayer meeting. And we got done the song and we were ready for the devotion time. And nobody got up to teach the devotion, Sonny. And I thought, and I looked over at Sonny. And I said, you're on. And he said, me? Well, you need to understand that we set the devotion schedule out months ago. Sonny is in the midst of moving, sold his house. He's staying in the villages, but he sold his house and he's in the process of moving. He's got a lot going on. You know, we all forget stuff, right? Well, I thought when he said, me, I thought, well, I guess I'm teaching it tonight. He got right up and walked up here and gave us one of the best messages we've ever had. Took him 5 seconds to prepare it. And 62 years. Amen is right because Sonny walks with God. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Sonny is no more excited about getting up in front of people than you are. And that is one of the greatest fears still today, getting up in front of people. But he understands, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he was able to get up. And because he's in the Word all the time, he was able to open up his Bible and deliver to us a message from God's Word. And it was powerful because he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And so can you. Question is, will you? And so what I'd like for you to do is to know that God wants to live powerfully through you. You've already seen that he's done it with Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, and we could go right on through even into today with more people right in this church. He wants to live his life through you as you. Will you get involved? Will you pursue him this week? Will you sit before him and say, God, is there anything in between you and me? Show me where you want me to go, what you want me to do, what studies you'd want me to be involved in. If you're not sure, ask me. Get involved somewhere in the church. This church is a church that is a good church, and we are working to reach the villages and around the world for Christ. Get involved. Please pray with me. Father, we are thankful for your word. And Father, we ask that the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths would be pleasing to you as we live in faith. Thank you, Lord, that you are so excited to work through us, building a kingdom of people faithful to you. Thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.